You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, and online at kgnu.org. Stay tuned for Ragtime America. Welcome to Ragtime America. I'm Jack Rummel. I'll be with you for an hour of recorded ragtime this evening. And tonight we're going to start celebrating some of the birthdays in the month of November because there's a whole bunch of them. And so we'll start with one gentleman that we have not really paid a lot of attention to before, but who is actually an important contributor to the history of ragtime music. His name is J. Bodewald Lampa. And so he was born on November 8th, 1869, died May 26, 1929. And thanks to Professor Bill Edwards, who has a wonderful website, I have quite a bit of information on Lampa. It says here he wielded perhaps more influence over music of the 1900s and 1910s as an arranger, as he did in his capacity as a composer. And some of his arrangements of classic melodies into songs helped keep them well alive into the 21st century. He was born in the city of Ribe, Denmark, R-I-B-E, and he actually used this later on as a pseudonym for himself, calling himself Ribe Danmark. The Lampa family arrived in the United States in 1873. His father listed himself as a bookbinder, which was likely a steadier career track for an immigrant. And soon they settled for a while in St. Paul, Minnesota. But his father's musical experience put him ultimately in leadership of the notable Great Western Band, which was founded in 1867. A touring group that made up initially of European musicians continued well into the 20th century. Jens Bodewald Lampa was his name. Jens, or sometimes J.B. as he was called, was a child prodigy, particularly on the violin. He also quickly took to trombone, cornet, clarinet, piano, and many other orchestral instruments. In addition to occasional performances with Great Western, he became the first chair violinist for the Minneapolis Symphony at age 16. He was academy trained in further music instruction, and while receiving this training in Chicago around 1888, he met and married an Illinois native, Josephine Dell. But let's start this off by saying in 1900, Lampa self-published his most enduring hit called Creole Bells, a cakewalk, but with a chorus medley in the B section that was easily remembered and often emulated. Quickly picked up by the Whitney Warner publishers in Detroit, and due mostly to being promoted by John Philip Sousa's band under co-leader Arthur Pryor, and was the vogue with early cakewalks, a song version soon followed, and that has been popular right down to today. I remember hearing the great blues artist Mississippi John Hurt singing Creole Bells. And through the fame of this, he ultimately found work as a professional arranger with Whitney Warner and then with the Richmond Music Company in New York City. And let's pause right now and listen to Mr. John Petley as he brings us Lampa's 1900 composition, Creole Bells. Version of Creole Bells by John Petley. Dates from 1900. From 1902 comes a piece that's pretty rare. I only have one recording of this. It's called Dreamy Eyes, and I know nothing about it except that Jens Lampe wrote it in 1902. Here are the Ragtime Skedaddlers. Thank you. The Ragtime Skedaddlers from the San Francisco area, and Dreamy Eyes by Jens Bodewald Lampe from 1902. By 1904, with a few other marches and syncopated pieces under his belt, and that last one was a march, Lampe was pulled to New York to work for the Remick Music Company. They were by now the predominant publisher of popular rags and songs, and he remained there for nearly two decades. That's also where he and Josephine raised their children. While employed primarily as an arranger, and soon to be the head of that department for the publisher, he also managed to churn out some fine marches and lightly syncopated pieces. Among his more popular entries acquired by Remick were one called Dixie Girl and another one that came out a little later called Yankee Girl. And the latter one actually is likely a nod to a popular loco for a tobacco product of that era, which may itself have been inspired by a successful Colorado mine named Yankee Girl. So let's turn our attention to those two pieces, the first being Dixie Girl, published in 1903, and here is a group from the Kansas City area called the Turpentine Ragsters. Turpentine Ragsters from Kansas City and Dixie Girl from 1903. I might add the name of this group, which I don't think I've explained at least recently. Turpin, T-U-R-P-I-N, and then Time, T-Y-M-E. The Turpin part comes from Tom Turpin, who was one of the early ragtime composers of the St. Louis area. And Time, of course, is just a fancy way of spelling it. So Turpentine Ragsters. Okay, there's a trivial detail that you can forget. Moving on now to Yankee Girl from 1904. And this will be played for us by the Dawn of the Century Ragtime Orchestra. You will notice that most of the versions that I am playing this evening are of groups, orchestras, and dance bands and things like that, because Lampa's music really was easy to arrange. And, of course, he being an arranger, he arranged a lot of his own things for groups as well. So almost all of what we're listening to tonight, with only a couple of exceptions, are groups. And here is yet another one. The Dawn of the Century Ragtime Orchestra playing Yankee Girl. Yankee Girl from 1904. Well, you may have noticed that most of the pieces that we're listening tonight by Jens Bodewald Lampe are in three parts, A, B, and C. And the B section usually has kind of dreamy-like melodies that are easy to remember. You can whistle along with them. And in many cases, those were the melodies that were converted to popular songs. And actually, of these four pieces that we've just listened to, all of them were structured this way. And so listen up, because some of the others may be the same, but this next one is different. While working for Remick, Lampe was responsible for putting palatable arrangements into the hands of not only the general public, but a number of working musicians as well. Among his efforts included folios of dance music and of film music, as well for theater pianists. He also had a knack of popularizing semi-classical or exotic pieces, among them being the Song of India, which would later become a big band hit. He also fine-tuned many piano rags and ragtime-era works by composers, including Charles Daniels, George Botsford, Gene Schwartz, Egbert Van Alstyne, and Fred Stone. And we'll get to one of those later in the program. But let's return now to this Song of India. It actually comes from an aria in an opera written by the Russian Rimsky-Korsakov in 1898. And Lampa picked up on this and arranged it in a popular style for orchestra. And it was played frequently in theater orchestras, I think, and silent movie orchestras. Ultimately, it was picked up by Tommy Dorsey's orchestra in 1937, who jazzed it up a bit and made a huge hit out of it. So let's listen to the Tommy Dorsey version from 1937 of Song of India, as arranged by J. Bodewald Lampa. There you have it, from 1937, Tommy Dorsey's orchestra and Song of India, as arranged by J. Bodewald Lempa. Okay, another tune now that I know very little about, but I have it. It's from 1906. It's called Paddywhack, probably from the childhood nursery rhyme, Knick-Knack, Paddywhack, Give a Dog a Bone. And to play it is the well-known orchestra, the Paragon Ragtime Orchestra from Pennsylvania. ¶¶ Paddywhack. Interesting name. Paragon Ragtime Orchestra, written in 1906. Well, the following year, 1907, comes a piece by Lampa called The Watermelon Club. This may possibly have had a racist slant to the title. I don't know. This was back in the day when racist songs were rather popular, I'm sorry to say. But it's a nifty tune, and we'll just chalk it up to the name of a social club called the Watermelon Club. And here is Paul Price's Society Orchestra to bring us that one. Paul Price's Society Orchestra, also from the San Francisco area, still playing, I should add. And that was the Watermelon Club from 1907, another great tune by Jens Bodewald Lampe, whose birthday on November 8th we are recognizing this evening. I mentioned earlier that Jens further fine-tuned many piano rags and ragtime-era works by composers, and I listed several, Charles N. L. Daniels, George Botsford, Gene Schwartz, and so on. Well, here's one that I didn't list, but we're going to pick on it tonight. This is from 1911. It's called Everybody Two-Step, written by Wally Herzer. And actually it was arranged, it began as a piano rag, and it was arranged for orchestra by J. Bodewald Lampe. And here playing, I believe, the original Lampe arrangement, at least it says so on the CD, is the Chrysanthemum Ragtime Band. Thank you. Everybody Two Step by Wally Herzer, but arranged by J. Buderwald Lampa. That was the Chrysanthemum Ragtime Band there. Well, here's a tune that I really don't know much about, other than it was written by Lampa in 1908. It's a tone poem. It's called Georgia Sunset. And here to bring it to us is the Heliotrope Ragtime Orchestra from the San Diego area. Georgia Sunset. It's subtitled A Southern Tone Poem, but to me it sounded pretty much like what Lampa had been writing all along, and in that same style with the B section having a slower type of melody that's easy to hum along to and maybe even put words to later on. Georgia Sunset. Did I say the Heliotrope Ragtime Orchestra? Well, if I did, here it is a second time. Okay, well, I did mention earlier that most of the works tonight are for groups because that was Lampa's specialty of taking pieces and arranging them for groups. But here's a piano rag that's actually played on the piano, this one from 1910. And it says, while many composers used pseudonyms, they did not often apply those to arranging credits. However, Lampa did both, applying an alteration of the name of his birthplace to become Ribe Danmark. He first composed the effective and ebullient glad rag in 1910 under the name Ribe Danmark. And it appeared in many publications from Remick for over a decade. So here is Trevor Tichenor playing his Lampa's Glad Rag from 1910. Trevor Tichenor on the piano and Glad Rag by J. Boldewald Lampa from 1910. That was a bit more complex than some of the other things that we've listened to. So nice job on that. Well, as our regular listeners definitely know, there were a lot of animal dances that took place in the first two decades of the 20th century. The grizzly bear was one, and here's another, written by Lampa in 1912. It's called The Turkey Trot, and it was published under his pseudonym, Ribadan Mark, and was quite popular. Helped keep the animal dance craze very much alive into the second decade of the 20th century. We do have a piano version of this by the late, great Nan Bostick. Thank you. The Turkey Trot is played by Nan Bostic. I'm sure that B section was converted into a song because you can just hear it. Da 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 da. It's the Turkey Trot. I don't sing very well, so I don't pay any attention to that. We'll move right along to a piece from that same year, 1912. I know little about this. It's called Hero of the Isthmus. It's a march. And the title must refer to some thing that happened in the course of human history, but I have no knowledge of what Hero of the Isthmus refers to. Let's listen to it anyway. Here is the Pacific Coast Ragtime Orchestra. Did that have you marching around the room? The Hero of the Isthmus March from 1912, as played by the Pacific Coast Ragtime Orchestra. And then from 1917, perhaps this title refers to World War I. I really don't know. It's called Camouflage, and it'll be played by four people, two of them Petra Sullivan and Bub Sullivan, and the other two Robin Devon and Steve Devon. They call themselves the Sullivans and the Devons. Here is Camouflage. Thank you. Camouflage from 1917 by the Sullivans and Dravans. Well, in 1918, the next year, the Lampa family suffered a loss of a son in a Manhattan hospital, and 9 days later, a grieving Josephine, who had contracted the deadly flu, passed away in a hospital in the Bronx. Overwhelmed by this level of tragedy, Lampa stopped playing publicly and eventually retreated to his office, just doing arrangements and folios. He died in Queens at age 59 in May 1929, left behind a considerable imprint in both piano and instrumental music. Creole Bells remains a favorite into the 21st century for vintage dance bands, traditional jazz bands, and ragtime pianists, and we'll go out with another version of Creole Bells just to honor that particular fact. Here is the New York Ragtime Orchestra to take us out. Jack Rummel saying thanks very much for joining us on Ragtime America as we celebrated the birthday of Jens Bodewald Lampa. The time is exactly 9 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, and online at kgnu.org. Stay tuned for Swing Shift.
This is D. Ryder. I just pulled into the station in my green 69 Plymouth Belvedere. I threw a bunch of my LPs in the back seat, and I think a few of them aren't cracked when I did that. So the first one, we started out with Benny Moten's Kansas City Orchestra with South. And we're going to start in 1928. And we're going to work on through the 30s, 40s, and wind up in the 50s. Next up, we're going to hear from Ziggy Elman. And after him, Coleman Hawkins in Holland. When he went over and he picked up a bunch of Dutch musicians for an album he put out in 1937. So we'll get, this'll be Ziggy Elman.